Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
The obvious connection probably would be whoever wants them, right? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. You just heard Adam Schefter say the obvious connection would be Southern California, where he's at home. We'll go to Southern California to talk about Kobe Bryant here in just 10 minutes, celebrating the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant 1 year since his passing. 2 hour special today on ESPN at 2 p.m. Eastern. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline, including a guy that did a documentary on Kobe Bryant, Spike Lee, who is coming up key in 29 minutes. I'll finally learn my lesson. Spike Lee on the way, the legendary director, to talk about Kobe Bryant. Let's start by talking about Aaron Rodgers. Jeff Saturday was talking on our show earlier this morning. You can find it on the podcast, hour number 2, later on if you want to download it. Jeff essentially said, listen, if there is a level of friction between the Packers and Rodgers, this is how extreme it would have to get if Rodgers were to get out of there before 2023 when his contract is done.
He's going to have to show me he's willing to retire. The one thing that goes against Aaron that like you said, Deshaun has the advantage is age, right? I mean, you're talking about Deshaun Watson being one of the youngest and best quarterbacks in our game, who, you know, on the landscape of the whole has many, many more good years, barring some catastrophic injury, right? From Rodgers' perspective, it's not that. The upside, as strong as it is for the next 4 or 5 years, once you kind of get past that, you don't have that same leverage.
A dozen years in age, Key, separating Deshaun and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he still has some leverage, not the type of leverage that Deshaun has in terms of the value in trade back, right? I mean, Deshaun can demand more, or the Texans, for that matter, can demand more because he's younger. But there's still a lot of value the Green Bay Packers can get back if, in fact, this was a trade partner, so to speak, that was out there. Think about it for a minute, though. Adam mentioned whatever, the West Coast, and you mentioned, you know, a place he had out there, and he can go up the highway, PCH, the 405 to the 101 and be in Thousand Oaks in minutes. Not a problem. Here's the interesting caveat to that, though. Guess who was coaching Jared Goff with the Rams before?
Who's this?
LaFleur.
Ah, right.
Matt LaFleur was an assistant coach with the Rams under Sean McVay. So does Matt LaFleur want that back in return? Mm. Like, because you got to get him back in return. Does Matt LaFleur, would you get rid of Aaron Rodgers for Jared Goff, along with a bunch of picks and other stuff? And the Rams have been known to make huge trades, whether it's Jalen Ramsey or Tlaib or Marcus Peters. I mean, they've done – Les Snead has done some things in terms of trying to build that team and bring them into the future. So if that's something that Aaron Rodgers is looking at and the Rams would explore it, hey, might be an opportunity there. Do we lose Jay?
No, I'm here. I'm here. I think I'm just processing everything. Like, I'm processing like the how massive of a move that would be. Because at the end of the day, you know, if Aaron wants to make this move, I mean, Zubin, have we ever seen a quarterback of his magnitude? I know we're kind of watching this with Deshaun Watson, but have we ever seen a quarterback of his magnitude say this is over? Like, I'm done. I'm out of a situation like this. I mean, other than Tom Brady. I mean, I know that but it was different, right? Tom Brady's contract was up at that time. This is a little bit different.
Right. Brady, of course, did it on his own volition. Another point to Key, I mean, who else loves giving out big money contracts more than the Rams? That's another thing, right?
Well, yeah, the Rams will absorb his contract and extend him if they needed to. They'll find the money. That's not a problem. The problem is what happens to the quarterback that they've already given the money to. That's just one team, right? And the reason, because of California relationship. But then there's a team, if you go further up north, near his hometown, which is about, I would probably say hour 30 south of Chico, which is Palo Alto, Santa Clara area, where the 49ers are at and located. Maybe there's a spot there, the San Francisco 49ers.
They've had a couple good quarterbacks.
Because what you can do to make things work right, you can trade for him. You can trade Jimmy Garoppolo back to the New England Patriots if they want him, or whoever else wants him. So you could move chess pieces around. I mean, there's no question. Same thing with Jared Goff. If they don't want Jared Goff in Green Bay because they drafted Jordan Love, you can move Jared Goff somewhere else and get that pick. You know, let's say I'll take New Orleans one, or what? I just use New Orleans as an example.
Hypothetical, yeah.
Hypothetical. I'll take your one. You can have Jared Goff. Now I'm going to give that one to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers along with some other stuff. Now come here with us, Aaron Rodgers. So you can manipulate it a lot of different ways.
The amount of quarterback movement, Jay, this offseason could be unbelievable. Whether Rodgers is realistic or not, we know Deshaun wants out. Matt Stafford is likely going to get dealt. He's got an unofficial broker deal with the Lions. You wonder if Matt Ryan's time is running out. Jimmy G essentially is free and clear. Our Mike Tannenbaum told us yesterday the Niners are very disappointed in him. Sam Darnold, oh, by the way, Cam Newton. This could be an incredible quarterback carousel this offseason.
This kind of reminds me of what the offseason was a couple of years ago in the NBA, where it's like we were following around Kawhi Leonard on planes. We were wondering what team all these guys are going to go to. It just feels like that Mike Tannenbaum said it correctly. It feels like the NFL is finally moving in a direction of player empowerment, where guys are recognizing that they have all the clout, and it doesn't matter, even though the league's been more conservative over years past, when guys have brand names, when they want to get to locations they potentially want to get to, they can force the hand of the team.
It's so amazing, Zubin, when that happens. I remember when Kobe Bryant was thinking about leaving the Lakers to go maybe potentially to Chicago or play for the Clippers. I was like, no, he's not doing that. Why would you ever go to the enemy?
And one thing you wanted to quickly mention, Andy Dalton, the best insurance policy in the league, or at least we thought. A couple of quarterbacks surprised us in a backup role like Wolford and Heinicke, but the Cowboys did give Dalton a one-year, $3 million deal, and he has been proven to be effective when needed.
So now he gets into the marketplace. You just never know.
Indeed. You never know who might show up in a This Is SportsCenter commercial. Myself, like many of you listening and watching this morning, have always sort of said, wow, it'd be great to be in a This Is SportsCenter commercial. He lived that experience and did so with the late, great Kobe Bryant. Tell us about that story. That must have been, you know, done a lot of great things in your career, but that was memorable because it came really at the front end, right?
Yeah, no, it was the beginning of both of our careers. We were drafted both in 1996 and both young and skinny and peanut heads and all of those sort of things. And when they asked me to do the commercial, I was like, who am I doing it with? And they're like, oh, we're going to do it with Kobe Bryant and Stu Scott. And, you know, I'm like,
wow.
Okay, cool. I'll love to do it. Where is it being shot at? They're like, Bristol, Connecticut. I'm like, where's that? You know, because I don't know, right? I'm like, where's that? They're like, it's a couple hours from New York. All right, I'll do it. And so along the way, we go, you know, I go up to Bristol, Connecticut, because we're in New York. They bring us up to Connecticut. We shoot the commercial. Come back to New York and hang out. Do we have a commercial?
We do. Here it is for those listening and for those watching.
As part of our relationship with the NFL and the NBA, we educate first-year players on how to deal with us, with the media. It's kind of like our own rookie camp.
All right, you guys have money, but you don't have attitude. You're too nice. It's pathetic. You're the man. Say it. You're the man.
I'm the man.
I'm the man. Come on, we just got to be like, I'm the man.
I'm the man.
Always refer to yourself in the third person. Keyshawn did. Kobe did.
Just cuss, man. Just cuss like a sailor. That's in now. They can bleep it out later. You got to say, that's a call.
We're making a difference, and you can see it every day.
Great teachers there, huh? It worked out a little bit for both of us in terms of learning from them, Jay Willow, how to do things, right, in terms of getting at the refs or whatever the case may be, because I certainly – have used some of that same language, and I know Kobe did too as well. But
you took that seriously, Key. Took that course seriously.
Oh, I mean, hey, man, they're teaching me. What did I know, right? I mean, it was fun, though, to be able to be in that commercial with Kobe Bryant. And after the fact, we came back to New York. I went and got cut up by somebody here in New York City, and we're at the hotel. So, I'm a little older. I'm coming out of college. He's coming out of high school. Right. And it's the summertime, and I'm like, I'm getting ready to go out, right, Jay? So I go out, and my phone rings. He's like, yo, where you at? Basically, I'm like, I'm at the club. You know, I'm getting it in. Man, what's happening? He's like, oh, man, you left. I'm like, come down. So we go. I mean, he comes. I'm like, just hit me, you know, basically when you out front. So we checking. Uh-huh. He comes, whatever, from the hotel. They wouldn't let him in. Now, mind you, it ain't Kobe Bryant. It's just a little skinny cat from high school. He had his high school ID. They wouldn't let him in. And, you know, I tried. You know, I tried my best to get him in. But they was like, nah, man, We get it. We understand who you are, and we get who he is. He got drafted. We get it. But he got a high school ID. I'm like, of course he would come with a green high school ID.
Tell you though, those New York City clubs are different, man. I've seen Aaron Rodgers stand outside a club as well. Like it's,
but this was way back. Think about it. This was way back in 1996. So they really had no leeway. Nowadays, you go inside of a club, they letting anybody in. But back then, they just wasn't doing it. But I learned a lot from Kobe, man, just in general through our times together. We were flying one time up to we had a Adidas appearance up in Portland, Oregon. We had to do something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but both of us came out. We signed with Adidas, Sonny Vaccaro. And so we're on the plane signing autographs. And so I don't know. It might have been 20 or so items that mm-hmm. needed to be signed. I looked over. He was already done. And I'm like, the hell he get done so fast? And so I'm signing Keyshawn Johnson, number 19.
The full John Hancock.
The full whole deal. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, man, he's like, why are you taking so long? I'm like, because I got to sign my name. I got to do it the right way. He's like, you don't have to do it like that no more. Let me show you. So his was just Kobe 8. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I changed my autograph signature forever. Now it's just Keyshawn 19 because mm-hmm. it was – like that. Mm-hmm. I ran through the thing so fast. He's like, you learning something from me.
Yeah. And speaking of 8, if you're watching this morning on ESPN News, I just want to mention, I know the majority of you are listening to us, but Key is sporting a sweatshirt today that's got an 8 for Kobe Bryant right on his chest. On the left, he's got 24, Kobe's other number. And on his right sleeve, he's got the number 2 for Gigi Gianna, Kobe's daughter, who also died in that plane crash. And we should mention, last thing I just want to say, we live in this Hollywood world where everybody's dating who and everybody's a reality TV star. If you're old enough to remember how big of a deal it was, I don't want to date myself, when Kobe took Brandy to the prom.
Yeah.
That was like a gigantic, that was before TMZ, before all this stuff. But that was just one of those moments where, like, this dude is 18. He's taken one of the biggest
Moesha.
Pop stars, Moesha. Mm-hmm. She had a TV show, Moesha Brandy. She's taking him to the prom. It's a gigantic story. He's out there with the sunglasses. I mean, he was one of a kind, and we'll always remember him. We're going to get some memories this morning with Spike Lee coming up. He'll be here in about 17 minutes. He did a huge documentary on Kobe. For now, we're joined by ESPN.com senior writer Ramona Shelburne, who I think of everybody on the staff here at ESPN as his dyed wool Angelino as anybody, as much as Key. And she joins us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. She knows the Southern California scene like nobody else. She was there at the crash site. And I remember her emotional reporting. It seared into my mind, holding that microphone in her left hand like she always does, trying to give us details when the details were so scarce. Ramona, good morning. It's great to talk to you. I wish it was under better circumstances, but this is a celebration of Kobe's life. What do you remember about that moment with your relationship? I know you talked about it with me on the air a year ago. You had a complicated relationship with Kobe Bryant a year later. Good morning.
How are you guys? It's interesting today. Like, there's a part of me that's, really sad just thinking about, what I was doing 1 year ago today, right? Like, I remember where I was standing. I remember where I was, how I saw the news alert pop up. I remember shaking and putting myself together and just kind of driving off to the crash site, which is actually, it was weird. It's like I live pretty close there. I live out in the valley in Los Angeles, and the crash site was just, basically, 10 minutes from where I grew up. And, 15 minutes from where I live now, right? And I was like, oh, I know exactly where that is. And I was like, oh, man. And then it's weird thinking about that day because it feels like a, really long time ago, but I also remember every second of it very distinctly, right? I think everybody, we all remember where we were when we heard, right? It's one of those events that you're going to remember exactly where you were. But I don't feel this. Like, this day is going to be, or should be, a day that haunts us, right? I think it was, I really don't think that's what Vanessa would want, and her kids, she's made that really clear. And I don't think that's what Kobe would want. I really think, he, as much as this was such a tragedy, I think it also gave us a moment to fully appreciate his life. Because of, the incredible life he led and the legacy. I mean, How many times, Zubin, do you like, you're walking around, like, people who aren't even into sports, like, they'll just be like, they'll reference Kobe. Like, they know what the Mamba mentality is. It's just become part of our cultural lexicon, right? I mean, it's, you know, I just say Kobe up, you know, or, like, Mamba mentality. And people get it. Like, I remember my mom's friends who don't even watch basketball would call me, or they had a yoga class or something. You know, like, it was just, that's kind of what Kobe is to everybody now. And I think that's why I think it's important today that we celebrate him and not just, you know, the last couple of days I was thinking, man, I just got back from a business trip. I got into Miami to do a story with Heat. I got back the night before. And, like, just how different it was. Even LeBron having that game last night. It was the same thing last year. He passed Kobe on the all-time scoring list the night before. I mean, it's just kind of eerie. But I think it's also a reminder of how larger than life Kobe really was.
Ramona, how has things been around the Lakers organization, and how have things been with Jeannie Buss?
You know what, Key? It's really heartening to see this, actually. But they check in with Vanessa on what she wants, right? On what this, I mean, that's who matters here. Okay, this was the worst day of her life, right? And they checked in with her. I think it was about a month ago that I had heard, you know, this is how Vanessa was feeling about this, and you know, the Lakers were going to take their cues from her, and they have the whole time. I mean, if you remember, the Lakers didn't put statements out confirming anything or weighing in on this for a little while, and so they didn't put anything out until Vanessa did. They were like, she should take, you know, she should be in charge of everything that happens now. And I think that's what's really good about it. And I think, you know, them winning the title last year, team, where he was so present in everything they did, you know, whether it was Anthony Davis hitting that three-pointer and he yells out Kobe right as he shoots it, as you know, they win the game. To LeBron, just kind of channeling him and saying, I'll take the torch and be the face of the franchise. Like, they really feel like Kobe's with them. I mean, Rob Pelinka, the general manager, is always referencing Kobe. Obviously, they're really close friends. Jeannie always mentions him, always references him. And, you know, I think it's a really beautiful thing that, you know, somebody is gone, but they're just sort of present in the Lakers' lives and what they do. But he's always right there with them.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN.com senior NBA writer and insider, is joining us here this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zoom. And Momo, what was your favorite Kobe moment?
Okay, Kobe moment on the court or Kobe story?
Give us a combination.
All right. I mean, I have a lot, okay? So, him on the court, I'll never forget him making the two free throws after the Achilles. That to me is the ultimate Kobe moment, because it said everything about him. And just, you know, what a larger-than-life warrior he was. I mean, you know, that must have hurt, right? Like, for him, he knew his Achilles was popped. He knew it was rupture. He was done. And it was, his whole career was going to be the same. And he, you know, later that night, I mean, I remember him sitting at his locker forever, doing, you know, interview after interview that night, because he just knew, you know, and he just, it was just super emotional, guts on the floor. He went home that night, cried, put this Facebook post out, just, you know, emptied the gut, you know, emptied his tank there. And then I remember him telling me, he's like, I was on the, you know, he's like, you got to get it out. You got to, like, cry. You got to, you know, say everything you're feeling, your fears, everything. But at the same time, he was, like, on the phone with Patrick Soon-Shiong, who is a part owner of the Lakers. He's like a world-renowned doctor. He's invented a bunch of medicine that has helped with cancer patients, et cetera. And he basically was on the phone with the doctor at 2 a.m. saying, what should I do? And the advice was, you should get surgery on that Achilles as soon as possible. Like, in other words, you went home with a torn Achilles and you should come to the operating room now. And he was on that operating room table at 6 a.m. because he had to, you know, the advice was, you've got to get in there and operate before the swelling. And I was like, I mean, who's able to do that? To go through the range of emotions, but also figure out the best course of medical action. Like that, in that state, in the middle of the night, and be at an operating room table 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, there's not a lot of hours in between when he got hurt, when he did that, you know, when he had the operation. That's so Kobe. My favorite story somebody told me about him, though, was Brian Shaw, who was his former coach for the Lakers. B-Shaw likes to fish, right? Everywhere he goes, he likes to fish. And he would invite Kobe to come with him sometimes. And, like, one time, I guess, B-Shaw invited him. Kobe was supposed to come, and he didn't show up. And he was like, and Kobe asked him later, he goes, did you catch any, right? And Brian was like, yeah, I caught some. And he goes, did you eat them? And he's like, no, I caught them and I released them. And Kobe was like, come on, you really? I mean, like, he didn't get it. And Brian, like, that, he's like, well, that's what we do. We catch and release. And Kobe was like, no, like, you should eat them. And Brian was like, why? And he goes, because they got caught. Like, in other words, those fish deserve to die. They got caught. I'm like, that is so Kobe, man.
That's only the stories Ramona can provide. It's great, great stuff. I want to mention that this morning, right now, you can download the ESPN Daily podcast. Ramona spent the podcast talking to the man Kobe affectionately called the Big Spaniard, Pau Gasol. Pau stories about Kobe Bryant with Ramona, anywhere you get your podcast right now on the ESPN Daily podcast. Ramona, thank you so much. Great stories.
All right, Momo.
Thanks, Ramona.
Because they got caught.
Catch and release. Catch and release. It's just like a basketball shooter. Catch and release. Catch and release. Ramona Shelburne on the Goodyear Hotline.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ramona. Great to see you. Just a reminder, the latest 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL, looking back on the long-running feud between the Raiders owner Al Davis and NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle, two of the most influential figures in the history of pro football. Beginning in the mid-1960s, when Rozelle was the NFL's young commissioner and Davis led the rival, the upstart AFL, and continuing through the 1980s when Davis waged a lawsuit against the league to allow him to move the Raiders from Oakland to Los Angeles. The two Titans were constantly and very publicly at odds, Al Davis and Pete Rozelle. The latest 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL, premieres February 4th at 9 Eastern on ESPN. And immediately following its debut, you can check out the Jalen and Jacoby After Show podcast, where the guys will be joined by director Ken Rogers. Listen and subscribe to Jalen and Jacoby, the After Show, wherever you get your podcast. You remember they did this for Michael Jordan in the Last Dance. They'll do it for Al Davis versus the NFL. On the way, an Academy Award winner, Spike Lee, reflects on an Academy Award winner, Kobe Bryant. Spike is next.
Tuesday, Chris Collinsworth will be among my guests as we continue to examine the fallout from Championship Sunday and look ahead to the Super Bowl. That's with me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
LeBron back in section in. Here comes a double team. Following. Good again! LeBron has 46 when he hits a fall-away two-pointer from the right-hand side. And, Michael, this is as good of a performance by LeBron as a Laker as we've seen yet.
It's really hard to argue, John Ireland, along with his man Michael Thompson on ESPN LA 710 Lakers with a little home cooking going back to Cleveland last night. LeBron said he saw his mom. He got inspired by Tom Brady, what he did on Sunday and what LeBron did last night. 46. Oldest Laker with a 40-point game since Kobe Bryant. His final game when he scored 60. Mamba out. Pardon the pun. We will do the right thing and talk to the legendary director, Spike Lee, about his feelings on Kobe Bryant. Great documentary he did about Kobe several years back. We'll talk about a couple more NBA notes. Nets over the Heat last night. They finished the game on a 27 run, so it was knotted at 85, and they rolled to a 98-85 win. Durant has been on fire, at least 20 in 14 straight games. And the NBA and the Players Union talking about the possibility of an All-Star game in March. They're circling March 7th. You kind of know the second half of the NBA season right now is really completely up in the air. Midseason break would be March 5th to 10th, about a month or so later than it normally is. Teams have just been all over the place, racked with postponements. 22 games in all have been postponed. Remember how much the league was lauded for the way they handled the bubble and finished the season. Boy, it's gone completely differently in this regular season with no bubble. And SportsCenter is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Man, Jack Buck once made that saying famous in baseball, and for all the great NBA broadcasters and Marv Albert, Kevin Harlan's, Mike Breen's that have had the opportunity to describe the late, great Kobe Bryant, you can only imagine the chills that they have, and many of us do, remembering the life and legacy of Kobe 1 year since his passing. Again today, 2-hour special on ESPN at 2 p.m. Eastern time for The Jump, all Kobe, all the time. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and it's never a bad time to talk to the Academy Award winner, Spike Lee, who, if I'm not mistaken, Spike actually joined us on day one of the show program way back on August 17th. He was listening on 98.7 in New York. He gave us a ring, and hopefully he's been liking what he hears. Good morning, Spike. You're an Academy Award winner. Kobe was an Academy Award winner. You did a documentary called Kobe Doing Work, for those people that may not recall, back in 2009. You have a special relationship with the Mamba. Take us inside that relationship on the one-year anniversary.
Well, brothers, thank you for having me on the air on this solemn day. A year ago, our brother, his daughter, and the other passengers perished on the horrific crash. And it seems like this past year has been hell. And I'm not trying to blame Kobe and the crash, but it just seems like since then, the last year, it's been hell. Corona, President Agent Orange, 420,000 Americans, our sisters, brothers, fathers, mothers are no longer here. Didn't have to be that way. So I'm just, 2020 hasn't stopped, you know. And then now we're on the one-year anniversary. I'm not going to front. Me and Kobe, we're not best friends. The Lakers, you know, Western Conference only come to the Garden one time, and I'm not in L.A. that much. But I called him up and said, I want to shoot you. We had 30 cameras on Kobe, 30 cameras. It was against the San Antonio Spurs, and he was mic'd. And the great, great Phil Jackson gave us access to shoot in the locker room, pregame, halftime, and post. Mm. So what we wanted to do was have Kobe have a running commentary. So we looked at his schedule, and Kobe said, all right, when I come to the Garden, we'll do the commentary after the game. And I said, after the game, you're not going to be tired? He said, look, We're going to do it after the game. And that game, February 2nd, he scored 61 points. And as we were doing a commentary after the game, at that point, it was the record for a visiting player at the world's most famous arena. He was killing me. And every time Kobe would see me, he would say, "Spike, the Knicks suck." What can I say? We would just, I knew automatically that's the first thing he was going to say to me. And then we would just laugh and hug. So I'm just thinking about his beautiful wife, his children, his parents, and I don't know how you really can't get over that. But one other thing, when I went to the recording, I had the stat sheet, and he signed it for him. He said, 61 points, Madison Square Garden, Spike, it was all your fault. And I had this framed in my office. Kobe was such just a beautiful cat, beautiful, and I was very happy for him to win that Academy Award. And I heard your story, you know, about how the one item he could have on his mantelpiece in his house is that Academy Award. I'm just sad today. You know, I just flew out of Canada, red eye from L.A., and I really couldn't sleep because I was thinking about being on the air with you guys, and also just the not a lot, but the warm memories I have of Kobe.
Spike, you're so important for the culture, specifically even in basketball. He got game and things of that sort. How important?
Oh, that's another thing. I did not offer Kobe the role. I told everybody, nobody's getting the role. You got to audition. So he said, "Oh, up and roll." I did not. But, you know, look, Kobe was not off season just important to him as during the season. And he works during the off season on his game. And Ray, one of the reasons why Ray Allen got the part, because he knew he would have to sacrifice his off season. Ray, the day we finished filming, he went to camp the next day. So not that many people could make that sacrifice. I understand that.
Wow. I was going to ask you, how important do you think Kobe was for the culture of basketball?
There's the culture is not one person. It's a multitude of people who make their mark. And Kobe had that swagger. You know, Jerry, you know what I'm talking about. You know, exactly. It's what we do, baby.
I hear you, Spike. I hear you.
That's just what we do. That's the experience, you know, and we build upon it. And this is what we like to say is that it's never just one guy, because there's always somebody before you. It's not like you just showed up and stuff just started to happen. No, there are people before you. They might be anonymous, no one knows they are, but people have put their lives in line, bled blood, so the people on the next level, the next generation, can keep going. And that's the plan. Let's just keep moving forward, 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 and remember the great ones, but also there are people who make great sacrifices that we never hear of. But if they didn't make the sacrifices, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. The grandfather of African-American cinema is Oscar Micheaux. No one knows who this guy was, but he was producing, writing, and directing movies himself. No one knows, but if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. Melvin Van Peebles, Ozzie Davis. You know, there are people before you. You just don't show up and, like, it happens. Mm-hmm. We're here because people died so we could do what we're doing right now.
Spike, I have to get this in before I let you go. You've done amazing work. You've been involved with amazing work in film for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, you know, we, me and you, baby, we go way, way back. Oh, way yeah. back and way back, baby.
Yes, no question. But I want to say this. Last night, I watched American Skin.
Mm-hmm.
That
Nate Parker.
That was the best project, in my opinion, that you've ever been involved with.
That's well, it. It, I would it was, look. It, here's
it,
the thing.
It was crazy good.
Here's the thing, Fire. Though. It was just a sparkly presentation, but that is a Nate's film. He wrote it, directed, acted in it. You know, and he needed help. I said, okay, you know, if it can help, let this be a Spike Lee presentation. But I'm very proud of being associated with that film.
Man, it was crazy. That's what I said. I know you was involved with it. You backed him and all that. But the fact that you saw exactly what it was, oh, man, it was crazy. It had me in tears, my wife in tears.
Yeah. As you know, we live in crazy times, and I still can't get – I know this is not a political show, but politics is always in sports. You know what? Forget what people say. Politics is always going to be part of sports. And also on this flying on the red eye from L.A. last night, L.A. to JFK just landed this morning, I kept thinking about January 6th. I still can't. And five people died behind that. This is like bananas we're living in. You know, we're living in history.
And as you've said, well said, 2020 being an extension, moving into 2021. We'll just take it day by day. It's the biggest sports cliche of all time.
That's all we can do.
But it's true, right?
Can I just say one thing? I know you got to go.
Yeah, go ahead,
look,
Mike.
You guys do a great show, a great show. I want everybody listening. Please wear a mask. This Rona, this 19, is no joke. As of today, 400,000 plus Americans are no longer with us. And by Valentine's Day, it's going to be 500,000. Wear a mask, please.
Well said.
Wear a mask.
25 million infected.
Hey, thanks, one last thing. Orange and blue coming back, baby.
Y'all on your way.
Which orange and blue is that? The Mets?
Or the Knicks?
No, I'm talking about
it can't, be, it can't be the Knicks.
The world's most famous arena. All right, guys, have a great day. Thank you for having me.
Is it the Mets? Because it can't be the Knicks.
Well, Spike, actually, you know, Spike's a big Yankee guy, right?
Oh, I know. I'm messing with Spike. I've been dealing with Spike since I was in high school, man. So I know.
He is great. He is the top of his profession, weighing in on the top of his profession. Kobe Bryant. On the way, Kobe was drafted 25 years ago. So was Key, by the way. But the real number Lakers fans need to remember this morning is 22. I'll explain. You'll enjoy this trip down memory lane, Laker fan.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
I had a little lesson on broadcasting. Keyshawn, I got to get you on this lesson and talk to kids just about how to be a sports broadcaster, how to be like Keyshawn Johnson.
They don't do that.
No?
That's a bad message you're sending to the kids. Yeah. You don't want to be like me.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Before we let you go, we got the one and only Stephen A. Smith joining us in the studio. First Take, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Walking on our set, man.
I think we're walking on his set, to be honest with you. I think this is his house. We're just renting it.
Man, I don't buy that. Come on, Zubin. Like that, Zubin. I've been knowing him when he couldn't even get in my restaurant. I ain't worried about Stephen A.
Stephen A's getting the corner table anywhere these days. That's for sure. One more thing, and it's going to focus on one great man. Again, Kobe Bryant, two-hour special ESPN. 2 p.m. Eastern today, ESPN Daily Podcast. Pal Gasol sits down with Ramona Shelburne. We haven't done this over the 4 hours, and I want to do this. I want to mention everybody that was on that helicopter because, yes, it was Kobe and it was Gigi. But there were other people involved there as well, and then an amazing story about what 25 years means since the drafting of Kobe Bryant. Obviously, Kobe Bryant was on board. Gianna, who was just 13, was on board. John and Carrie Altobelli, their daughter Alyssa, Sarah Chester, her daughter Peyton, and Christina Mauser, an assistant coach, because John Altobelli was known as a great coach in his day. We should also mention Ara Zobayan was the pilot, and that's a little bit tricky and complicated because was the pilot liable and some litigation that Vanessa Bryant, Kobe's widow, has against the helicopter. But those are all of the people that were on board, including the pilot. Want to mention this real quick. So Kobe was drafted 25 years ago. Kobe was drafted 25 years ago. But if you're a Laker fan, the key number to keep in mind here is 22. There have been great eras of Laker basketball with Wilt, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Showtime, Jerry West, all that. Think about this. Key, you'll remember this well. Jay, you remember this well. In a 22-day stretch in 1996, the Lakers acquired the rights to Kobe Bryant and got Shaq in 22 days. And I think we all know what that combination led to. Were there some tough times between Shaq and Kobe? Of course. The way Shaq talks about Kobe now, a little bit different. You're in the heat of the moment. 22 days later, they draft Kobe and then get, at the time, what was one of the biggest signings in the history of the NBA, and they made magic together. So while we think about 25, and this June we'll celebrate a quarter century of Kobe being drafted out of Lower Merion High School, Key drafted that year in the National Football League, I just want to put 22 on the radar for a lot of people. 22 days, two of the greatest Lakers coming together, winning those championships. Key, I know that probably means a lot to you as a guy that has followed the Lakers since the day you started watching hoops.
That just, it speaks to the organization. And at the time, Jerry West and Mitch Kupchak, they had a plan.
Right.
And the plan was to build the Lakers and late Dr. Jerry Buss to build the Lakers and get them back to where they belong, was trophies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it is. And you see it now with LeBron James, right? They went out, got LeBron, AD. That's part of that Laker DNA, understanding what it is to be champions, identifying talent. Jerry West identified the fact that Kobe Bryant was a talent. You know, at the time, there wasn't a lot of successful high school to NBA guys. I mean, there was like, you could count them on your hand, right? Guys that made that jump that was successful.
KG.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, it was always like, as much as it, you know, I remember having a conversation, Jay Will, you know, when you think you know talent and you see it and you go, oh, man, he ain't, God, come on, man. They took that? They did that? You know, because he's a rookie. Air ball machine. You sit there going, like, come on, man, Lakers, seriously? And then what?
Well.
19 years later, it's like, that's the same guy that was in the commercial with me? You know, it's crazy.
How do you think Charlotte feels, Key? How do you think Charlotte feels?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean
Charlotte,
you know,
drafted him. Charlotte, he's in Charlotte, North Carolina. But you got to keep him.
But no, but still, though, Jay. What? Being in L.A. is just something magical about playing for the Lakers. Like, I really never seen.
Oh, I understand that.
It's so interesting because I never seen guys that are supposed to be, quote unquote, like stars that go to the Lakers and then flop.
Right.
They always go there and ball out. Even Dwight Howard did okay, even though he had back issues.
Right.
I mean, when you think about it, guys that come to the Lakers in free agency or whatever, that's supposed to be starting. They never really flop.
That's fair enough. Final word again to remember Kobe today, ESPN, 2 p.m. Eastern time, the Jump special. Download the ESPN Daily for Pau Gasol's memories of the Mamba. Greeny is next on many of these ESPN radio stations. See you tomorrow.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.